Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Zika virus is transmitted by Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, and that's renewed a debate over whether all mosquitoes should simply be wiped out. Now, we've spoken on the program about something called gene drive, the concept that a species can be eradicated by altering the genetic code of males in captivity. In this case, the male Aedes aegypti mosquitoes would be altered so that when they are released and mate with females, those females produce only sterile offspring, which should, in time, wipe out the species. An extensive article in The Guardian plumbs this idea. After all, mosquitoes have probably helped to kill more than half of all humans who've ever lived. And the Gates Foundation says the diseases carried by mosquitoes still kill about 725,000 people a year. So why not get rid of them? Even scientist E.O. Wilson, who's all about preserving species, has said, except mosquitoes. Let's just keep their DNA for future research, but let's let them become extinct. Well, let's bring in Dr. Philip McCall, Everett Dutton Reader in Medical Entomology at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine in the UK. He joins us by Skype. And Dr. McCall, you work on ridding certain mosquitoes. So take up this argument that we just get rid of them all. What's the argument against that?
The first argument is going to be a bit difficult. If you were to target, let's say, just the most important species, let's say Anopheles gambi, the number one transmitter of malaria in sub-Saharan Africa, we've certainly tried in the post-DDT era and that sort of euphoric period of optimism from the 50s and 60s, but the realization that they just fight back, you know, like using antibiotics against bacteria, the harder you hit them, the quicker they come back resistant. So you have to keep coming up in this co-evolutionary arms race with more and more insecticides or alternatives to insecticides and new strategies.
Well, of course, the cartoon I'm envisioning, somebody going after a mosquito with a giant nuclear bomb, and they may or may not kill the mosquito, but they kill everything else. And that's what pesticides are.
In some ways, I mean, the whole story of DDT is a pretty bad one. And we were very flippant and foolish in how we used it, you know, to spray vast areas of crops of wheat and cotton and so on. And we killed everything. But the argument is that when we use DDT against malaria mosquitoes in countries where those mosquitoes were active indoors, it was a very, very good strategy. You spray the walls inside the house, the mosquitoes come in to feed, they bite us, and then they rest on the wall. So if you only spray the walls, that kills the mosquitoes very effectively, and the insecticide doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't leach off the walls. The rain doesn't wash it off. It's indoors after all. It degrades very slowly. And unless you lick the walls, I mean, it's a bit flippant here, but you know, unless you make really intense contact with the wall, the people who live inside the house aren't going to pick it up either. DDT for that purpose, a persistent, stable insecticide, was absolutely fantastic. But that's the last thing you want in an insecticide which you spray on your crops. And so we gradually moved away from these kinds of insecticides to better, more targeted kinds which we could use in the crops. And in doing so, we forgot about the benefits of DDT and the kind of insecticides that were very effective.
Well, so it's possible to eradicate at least strains, but should we? Are there other species that depend on mosquitoes?
This is absolutely true. When they bite us, and that's a tiny event in their life when they actually encounter us and when they bother with us, if you like, the rest of the time they're out there being eaten by bats, birds, other insects. And the female lays her eggs in water. The eggs hatch into larvae, where they're a source of food for other invertebrates, for frogs, newts, toads, you name it. And so they're an important point in the food chain. And if you pull them out of that whole ecosystem, something will give. The consequence of eliminating all mosquitoes would be incredibly damaging.
Well, you know, there are people who are trying to eliminate all mosquitoes. They say, oh, everything that eats mosquitoes, they have other things. Birds and geckos, they've got other things to eat as well. It wouldn't imbalance the food chain.
This is a difficult one to argue because it's very hard to quantify how important their role is. So let's say you were to collect the gut contents of all the organisms that might feed upon them. You might get some idea of what proportion of the food in a bat stomach or in a dragonfly stomach or something like this was made up of the organisms you were after. but it's still difficult to calculate it. And to be honest, I think people like myself who devote our lives trying to slaughter and eliminate these creatures from the face of the earth, we really focus on key species, like you say, the ones that transmit infection. So arguably, if we were to target Aedes aegypti, you know, the kind of environment it lives in, man-made containers, well, very little else depends upon it, certainly in the aquatic stage. Maybe the adult mosquitoes are eaten by birds and other predatory insects, but in a high-density centre of a city, would we really miss a species like this at any stage in its life cycle? Possibly not.
Well, then there's the criticism or the concern that's expressed by Melanie Challenger. She wrote the book On Extinction, How We Become Estranged from Nature, and she's quoted again in a terrific article in The Guardian. She said there's something more robust to think about than how something fits in the grand scheme. There's the sanctity of life. If you start getting cavalier about the existence of any living being, if you start to think it's okay to eradicate something because it's a threat to us, then you put other ideas about the sanctity of life in question. Do you worry about that? It's sort of a slippery slope? Look, if I am of childbearing age in Brazil, maybe I wouldn't worry about it that much because the threat of Zika is so terrible. But do you worry about it?
Well, put it the other way. I mean, humans are a pretty messy species. We've caused phenomenal damage to the planet, and we've eliminated huge numbers of species by accident. But of the ones we've targeted and intended to obliterate, we've only done two so far, smallpox and rinderpest. So how many people bemoan the disappearance of smallpox and the sanctity of the life of smallpox?
Was that a species, smallpox?
Yeah, smallpox was a unique, very basic organism, but we did a pretty good job of getting rid of that. And I don't think people argue that this parasite, you know, arguably no different in its parasitism to an Aedes aegypti feeding upon us. I've worked in mosquitoes for a long time, and I find them fascinating. And my work involves investigating their behaviour, their perception, how they find us, how they respond to the insecticides we use to protect us. And the more we explore these things, the more we realise how sophisticated and, you know, how they're not just very basic blood-sucking machines. They're as sophisticated and they have the same structures as many other organisms, and they have many secrets to be revealed. But at the end of the day, we're not really very sentimental about it. I mean, we learn more about them as, you know, in as much as you're studying your enemy to find better ways of killing them.
And yet, as you said, although you're for eradicating the species that cause such harm, you don't have a lot of faith that we can.
At present, for malaria, for example, we are facing the reality of serious insecticide resistance spreading very rapidly in the last couple of years across Africa. Unless we come up with some new insecticides in the next 5 years or so, we're going to have a problem. And bed nets, for example, insecticide-treated bed nets, which are incredibly important and fundamental in protecting families against malaria, they're going to start losing their efficacy.
Dr. McCall, how often have you been bitten?
I've lost count. I mean, we often have to stick our arms in a cage of mosquitoes at work just to give the colony an occasional boost. To see, you know, if they're being fed on artificial memories, they like a bit of, you know, they like a bit of fresh meat every now and again.
Why do some people get bitten, some people don't?
Oh, that really is a big question. There's some fantastic work happening at the moment, and there's some really exciting work coming out of some of the groups in the States, actually, who are looking into this. If you take a random collection of people, so let's say we wander into the studio at NPR and gather together randomly 20 people, and we line them all up and we do a series of tests and look at how many mosquitoes choose to land on any one of you, we could rank you in terms of the least attractive to the most attractive. And there was some work done in the Netherlands a few years ago where they found that the individuals, this was in the case of Anopheles gambi, by the way, the number one malaria vector in Africa, individual humans that had predominantly staphylococcus bacteria on their skin, so this is their natural skin flora, these were the ones that were very attractive to mosquitoes. And the least attractive humans were the ones that were predominantly Pseudomonas bacteria on their skin. So what happens next after this, why that's the case and what that's related to and how that transfers into something we can exploit is the next step.
Dr. Philip McCall, the Everett Dutton Reader in Medical Entomology at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Thanks so much for speaking to us about mosquitoes.
Thank you very much.